You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're discussing what it means to live authentically. You know, and better yet, how can you live authentically in the world that we have created? I know to some people this could be a question that asks even more questions, and I think for other people, they think that they can be authentic no matter what. And I think we have to clarify, honestly, what's an authentic lifestyle, and then kind of roll from there how we become ourselves, or how we actually reflect on ourselves as human beings. Bill, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing pretty good. About yourself? Well, I'm doing okay. I mean, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, but...
Me neither.
Yeah, there's something going around, I guess.
I don't know if something's going around, but I was just awake. I was, like, ready to go. I should have just stayed up.
I know. We should have just come to the studio, huh?
Yeah, that would have been kind of fun.
And all the, you know, people who get up with chickens, you know, in the morning, we could have just, you know, talked to them.
Yeah, why not? I mean, we could talk to the chicken people.
Next, the lonely truckers, you know, next time we have a sleepless night, let's just come down to the studio and just start talking.
I think they'd like us talking about whatever we have
to say.
That
would be cool, yes.
We'd be authentically talking about ramblings on... And we'd be completely out of touch, but yet I think other people would be as out of touch as we are.
Anybody up at that time of night, is they're going to follow along with us.
God bless them. Eric, how you doing tonight?
I am good. I am a tropical man in an Arctic environment. It's freezing tonight in Dallas. It's freezing.
It is cold.
We got a new name for you, Eric. We're going to call you Pam.
Uh-oh. I like Chuck Norris better.
We can't talk about what Pam stands for.
It's the initials are for something we can't repeat over a family show.
But, yeah. And we'll just leave it at that.
We'll just leave it at that.
I think any more exclamation could actually get us into some trouble.
Only because I love y'all.
And we love you, too.
We love you, man. I love you. I love you, too, Bill.
Oh, this group hug.
I love everybody group that's hug. Listening to the show tonight. I love y'all. And thanks for tuning in tonight because we love you.
Keep it
Perspectives.
Real.
Yeah. We're sending you a big, big I love you. So let's talk about how to have an authentic lifestyle, how to live authentically. Let's begin this tonight. And I think you have to begin with the concept of being you. And I know that a lot of people be like, what does it mean to be you? What does it mean to you, Bill?
Well, you know, I'm still figuring that out, to be honest with you, and that's the reason why I like co-hosting the show with you, because every week I learn something new about myself that helps me learn who the real me is. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's for some people that might be a lifelong journey.
I think it should be a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you just stop learning about yourself, and I agree with you. And I think we have to begin by learning who we are, and I think that's technically begins to determine, you know, how we be ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. For me, Ashley, it's to Bill's point, it's an evolving self. But there's checkpoints along the way, friends, situations that you kind of measure, and it, you know, reminds you of what that authentic, but you know, it's a feel for me as well. When it feels right, I don't know if that's scientific, but when it feels right, that's when I feel like I'm at my best from an authenticity perspective, but it is an evolving science.
I think you also have to figure out too, what do you love? I think, what do you love? Like, what do you love to do? What do you love? You know, I think that also characterizes a lot of how are you? What kind of person are you? I mean, because if you love certain things, that kind of defines you to some degree.
Or certain activities, certain people. The old saying is you are what you eat. Well, you know, maybe we can adapt that here. You are what you love.
Yeah.
And
that
will definitely.
So would that make you a steak, Bill? Would that make you steak and potatoes?
It, you know, absolutely.
And Coca-Cola.
And the steak is still mooing, you know?
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Steak is grazing on the potatoes, you know?
No, I mean, I think it's what you love. You know, what do you love in your life? I think that helps define you. I think also if you go a step further, what drives you?
Yeah.
What drives you to do what you do?
Yeah, and the sincerity of that drive has a lot to do with it as well. The sincerity, the devotion, and the commitment to that drive. Are you working towards things that that are real in a sense, and that are sincere. So that's what kind of does it for me. But you know, authenticity, that's an interesting deal. And as you guys listen out there tonight, think about that intuitively as well. What is authentic to your own self, and what does the word authenticity actually mean to you?
And you know, Eric, I'll bet you that if they're listening, they're also following along with us on Facebook and Twitter. So that if out there, if you're listening, if you know what authenticity, I'll get it out. authenticity, then please share it with us.
Yeah,
I think if you know also what's at your core, you know, I think if you figure out what drives you, because I know what drives me. I know the things that are really important to me. I know the things that I love. But I think also what is at my core, and I think that really determines who I am. You know, and I think that also helps you learn who you are. But also, I think it's more than that, right? I think it's what do you stand for?
Yeah.
I think that's key. And I think some people listening would be like, what does that mean? What do you stand for? But I think if you look at the other side of the same coin, it's what are your values? What do you value? And I think that's inherently defines who you are as a person.
And I think in today's society, that's a very difficult question to answer.
Very much so. Very much.
Because, I felt peer pressure all of my life to be a certain have a certain type of job, a certain income level, wife, kids, a house in the suburbs, white picket fence, you know, dog in the backyard. It's just not me, you know, but the society is just so geared towards that model that, up until the past few years of my life, that's what I've chased. And I found out that I wasn't happy doing it.
Yeah, it's so tough, Bill. And you bring up a wonderful point, man. It's so tough today. If we all lived in a vacuum in our own echo chamber, maybe it'd be a little bit easier. But there's so many external forces that sometimes interfere with your own understanding of your own authentic inner self. You know, you've got the voices of your parents, you've got the voices of your friends, you've got the voices of media, you've got the voices of your surroundings constantly attempting to define yourself and interact with your authentic self. And sometimes it's just really hard.
Well, and I think the one point you just hit on that I really like, the media, we put these impossible standards up as the ideal. And only a handful of people are going to live up to that. And the rest of us are kind of made to feel like losers, at least I think so, when we don't approach that ideal. And then so how do you know what your authentic self is?
I just think they keep changing the ideal, to be quite honest with you,
yeah.
Because I don't really think the ideal is anything near what it used to be. I mean, you know, there was a front page of a magazine recently. On the cover of the magazine had Kim Kardashian with her butt hanging out, and that's what we saw, all oiled up with just a towel around her, with her turning her head around.
And it was airbrushed.
I don't know about airbrushed, but I'll tell you one thing.
Oh, it definitely was airbrushed.
There were butt implants, okay?
Yeah.
So we can go a step past that.
Those implants? Seriously?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I never knew that, really.
She's got implants on both ends, man.
Wow.
On both ends.
Wow.
God bless.
I never knew that. Wow.
Think about it, though. I mean, is that the ideal? Or, you know, I think that the ideal is constantly whatever is making money, whatever they can make money on, whatever they can score money from, wherever they can sell more magazines. And I think the ideal at one point in time might have been the Leave It to Beaver family. I think that was a little bit of trying to also keep people under wraps, get married, you know, be secure, have two kids, you know, 2.5 kids, and, you know, have the two cars or the one car,
well,
and that kind of sort of
yeah,
thing.
I mean, of course, you know, in the 1950s, you have to remember, you know, that generation was born and raised during the Great Depression. So they knew what hunger was. And then when they did come of age, they had to go overseas to fight a war. And a lot of them didn't come back, which, by the way, this past week, you know, we should say Happy Veterans Day and thank you to all those who have served our country.
Very much.
So when they got back and wanted to, you know, start a life, they wanted that, you know, ideal. The wife, 2.5 kids, house in the suburbs, you know, type of thing. And, you know, did they go a little bit overboard with it? Well, yeah, but I can forgive them for it because of what they went through.
But now we're going overboard
now,
on the other side.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the ideal? There is no ideal. I think you have to create your own ideal within the society that we've created.
The ideal is the individual. Think about that.
Yeah, the individual is, you know, you are your own,
you are your
God
own idea
of your own little,
with a little G,
universe.
With a little G.
Yeah.
But yeah, you are your own ideal. Think about that, because there's no other version of you out there exactly like you, at least in this universe. So you're your own ideal to a very high degree. So I guess based on that, everything else is white noise then. Is that, you know, the media and all the other things?
But
is
you
that
still
white
have
noise?
To, you still have the pressure to conform.
You still have the pressure to conform.
You know, so yeah, I mean, I'm going to be interested in what you have to say.
I want to talk more about that pressure, because I don't really feel it all the time. I mean, there might have been a time where I might have felt it, but I think it's all self-projected as well. I think that a lot of this pressure that we have is self-projected on ourselves, because we project that based on what we think we need to fit in or how we're going to fit in better with society. I like that. We'll talk more about that when we return. So stay tuned, because when we return, we're going to be talking more about authentic lifestyle, how you can be yourself, and also we'll head into how to have a healthy lifestyle on top of that. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. A glass of perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
I like Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, but I prohibit my workers from listening to it.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's episode of Perspectives, we've been discussing what it means to live authentically. You know, better yet, how can you live an authentic life in the world that we've created so far? You know, I think that's kind of an interesting question, and I think we have to deal with the authentic living first. How do you live authentic? How do you have an authentic, original lifestyle? And before the break, we began discussing how to be you, being you. And I think that's a concept that a lot of people haven't mastered yet. They don't have their minds wrapped around being themselves. So how do you be you? And right before the break, we discussed you have to figure out what is it that you love. What do you love in your life? What are the things in your life that you love, that you care about, that you cherish? What are those? What drives you? What's your driving force? What drives you? What drives you to get up in the morning? What drives you to get out of bed? What drives you to go to work? What drives you to live? What drives you? What's your inner drive? And then more than that, what is at your core? What is at your sincere core?
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. You know, Ashley, this topic is hopefully it's an interesting topic for our listeners, because there's so many layers to it. I mean, there's so many layers to it. Bill, I don't know about you, but I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Entire religions and philosophical systems have been built around what Ashley just asked.
Yeah.
You know, human beings have been asking that question since there have been human beings. You know, I think what it comes down to is there's no one right answer, no one size fits all answer.
Yeah.
I think it depends. There's a right answer for you, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That individualization. And one of the things that I do is I think about is what it is, what it is not, and what you're aspiring to be. So what am I? What do I represent? What are the things that I'm not doing that don't represent my core self? And then who am I, or what am I aspiring to be within myself? But in the middle of all of that, it's all about self. It's all about self.
I agree with that. I think, are you living with your values too? And I think whatever we value, and I know a lot of people sit there and say, whatever, values, you know, who cares? But I think we create these values when we're young, like you were talking about, Eric, earlier. We create these values when we're young, and I think these are the things that we stand for. Now, whether or not we learn this from listening to mom and dad or the people that brought us up, which is a possibility, or we basically learned this from our upbringing, or we created this on our own, or we learned this from religion, or from going to church, or from whatever have.
Or our pop icon, or pop culture icons.
Well, yeah, you could learn things like that too. I guess you're right. Wow, yeah, you can. I mean, you can learn those kind of things, you know, and I'm sure there's some people that have learned from types like that. And I think that, what do you value? And I think let's make this even more understandable for people. So for example, this example is a little hardcore, but I use this a lot in my in my therapy with my clients, as well as in my coaching. So let's say you value marriage, right? And you value being faithful, and you value this. So if you value that, you know, the concept of having fidelity is very important, and not cheating. So if you're a person that values that, but you're out cheating, that's going antithetical to your values. So you see what I'm saying? So if you value marriage and you value being faithful, that's great. But if you're out, you know, gallivanting around, you're going against your values. So you either have to change your values, right? Or you have to change your actions. You think about that, because that makes perfect sense to me, because that's the problem that a lot of people have, is that they go, well, I feel this way, yet I do this, but I feel bad about doing this. And so the concept I say is, what's going to be easier for you? Is it easier for you to change your values, or is it easier for you to change your actions, or how you feel about what you did?
Well, let me add this to it, Ashley. What about if it is an addiction, though, and say those are your values, but you have an action that is contrary to your values, but it is an addiction. So is that still in the same space? Or, I mean, because at that point, it's not a choice. It's something that's medically or chemically out of whack. I mean, how does that fit into it?
Well, and also think about this too, Eric. I mean, you know, what you just asked, I mean, that's kind of chicken and egg type question.
Yeah.
What comes first? You know,
what do you mean? What does that mean?
Well,
chicken and egg?
I mean, you know, what is it that defines you? Is it your actions that reflect your inner self, or, you know, your values that, you know, will radiate to the surface?
That might reflect your guilt.
Yeah. At some point. I mean, you know, so I don't know. I mean, it's not an easy question.
Well,
let's
go back to the concept of addiction. Okay. So this is a good question, and I think this is something that we need to talk about. Addiction is a thing that you have to understand about yourself. If you're being you know the things that you're addicted to.
Yeah.
You know if you have a weak spot. You understand that. And at least you can begin to understand that it exists and not to try to hide it. And then to try to work from that. Because I think that some people try to do the best they can, but something's is hanging them up.
So
there's a reason for it.
So the addiction or the resulting actions from the addiction don't define you, but the fact that you are aware of the fact that you have an addiction, in that case, is a sense of authenticity, because it's an honest evaluation of yourself. Okay, I like that.
Yeah,
isn't that
step number one of the 12-step programs?
Yeah.
Like, hi, Bill. Hi, my name is Bill, and I'm here. And I'm Bill.
You know, I mean, you have to, and you know, you can apply this generally speaking. You have to admit there's a problem in order for you to be able to fix it. You can't help somebody who is not willing to be helped, who can't admit
which
they need help.
Which makes sense, because if authenticity is something that is unique to that inner person and the pursuit of that, then the pursuit of that, it inherently dictates that there is an honest evaluation of your pluses and your minuses. And that in and of itself is part of the pursuit of authenticity.
And I think that's a large part of the challenge of being authentic. It is hard to admit that you have minuses.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like it's hard for some people to look in the mirror and honestly see what's being reflected back at them.
It can be. I mean, let's look at another example that I think is good, too.
Yeah, please.
Think about if you're a faith-driven person. Let's think about if at your core you're a very faith-driven person. You're a very faith-driven person. You go to whatever religious, you know, church you go to, whatever, and you really believe. I mean, you have like a real solid belief. Now, think about the same person. If you're living with a person that doesn't believe anything that you believe and is constantly tearing you down for your beliefs, think about that. So think about this. If you really are, let's say, you're a God-fearing person and you believe in God, you do all this kind of stuff, and the person you live with is the complete antithesis of that, and you are constantly being grilled for your beliefs, what are you doing? Do you need to change your values, or do you need to change your actions?
Well,
I mean, because that can break you down from being authentic, too, if somebody's constantly questioning you or taking you off from where you believe you should be.
Well, you know me, Ashley. I mean, I am a Christian, and I do my best to live the Christian beliefs, Christian values. Paul actually noted that, what you just said, and he advised, in the book of Romans, he advised the early Christians to not associate with those who don't hold the same values. And the reason why is because by hanging around people who have opposite values and beliefs, some of that's going to seep in and start to mess up what you're trying to accomplish. And so he advised the early Christians to only be around other Christians.
Yeah, other believers.
You know, for that particular reason.
Yeah. I get a lot of that. We were joking earlier at the break about all the things that I don't know about popular culture, and you guys are laughing at me. But a lot of that is by design. I just don't want to know a lot of these things in pop culture because it doesn't do anything towards my own pursuit of becoming a better Eric. It's good to know in the periphery, but does it really mean anything to me? Do I really care who's got implants or who's not, who's dating who or who's not seeing who? Kind of not, because it's not positive towards me being a better authentic self in that pursuit.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again.
War.
Good God. Yeah, I like that. It's true. If it's not building you up, if it's not helping you in any way, there's really no need to know that knowledge. I agree with that. Yeah. It's just like wasted space.
Yes, wasted space. Maybe it's where I am in my life, but I don't have the room for it. If it's not something that's going to benefit me and my journey to be better, more authentic, more fulfilling, more spiritual, then I just, at this point in my life, I don't have the capacity for it. And I remember when I was younger and I would entertain certain environments or certain groups and it just wasn't beneficial. So as I've gotten older, I just kind of limit it to the things that are important to me.
You know, Eric, entertainment moguls listening to the show, they're going to come after you for that. You know what I'm saying? They're going to come after you for that.
That's okay.
How dare you buy into...
But that's okay because I had to go through that process to get to where I am now. So they're doing a job and they've got a thing to do and that's okay. But you know what? It's just a stepping stone to where I ultimately want to be personally.
I like that. And, you know, I think if we go back to and discuss the whole idea of, you know, not needing to or not wanting to have to explain yourself. And I think that's another thing that we'll get into when we come back from the break, because I think when you deal with things that are antithetical to your values, a lot of times you have to explain yourself and that takes you off from being authentic. So stay tuned, because when we return, we'll be talking about more about the authentic lifestyle, as well as heading into the concept of how to have a healthy lifestyle and being able to deal with the world that we've created. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're discussing what it means to live an authentic life. You know, better yet, how can you live an authentic life in the world that we have so created? You know, a lot of people think that second part of the equation is a little difficult. Because if you're trying to live authentically, and you're constantly dealing with the bombardment of people that aren't authentic, and people trying to sell you on things that aren't authentic, how do you stay the authentic path? How do you go the unique role? How do you keep going down your path? And that's a good question, and that's what we're talking about tonight. And in the last segment, we were really discussing, you know, the whole concept of what you value. What's valued? What is antithetical to your values? So the concept of you value something, but you do something against your values, how does that work for you? And that last example I gave about, you know, living in a household that you have certain values and the other person doesn't value those things at all. And actually, not only do they not, they don't even keep it to themselves either. They actually tell you on a daily basis that what you believe is BS. It's stupid. It's wrong. It's dumb. It has no need. It serves no value. How hard is that to constantly deal with somebody telling you those things? And I think this goes to the concept of it's very hard to stay authentic when you're trying to always have to explain yourself.
That's cause for an intervention. You have to remove yourself from that environment. And I've been there. You have to remove yourself from that environment that is a detraction from your journey. If not, you're dying on the vine. I mean, I think you're literally dying on the vine, and that's an unhealthy dynamic on several levels, I think.
Well, and I've known people like this, Eric. I mean, at some point, they lose who they are.
Yeah.
And they get so wrapped up in being this character, for lack of a better word, that they're trying to be, that, you know, like how many musicians, how many actors? How many, you know, quote unquote famous people?
Brian Bosworth. I don't know if you just saw the recent 30 for 30.
What a perfect example.
Yeah, perfect example. I mean, he said, I don't even know that guy anymore. And he said the Boz, which is the personality for all you guys. This is back in the day. Back in the 80s. Wonderful All-American linebacker out of Irving, Texas.
He was artificially enhanced.
He was a good college linebacker. But he made it to the NFL. He created this caricature of himself for marketing purposes primarily, and I think to overcompensate for his lack of NFL type of ability. But he created this persona that took over, and it was completely antithetical or opposite of who Brian really was. And it took over, and it consumed him, and it ruined the first part of his life.
Well, and I'll go even back even further. Thomas Hollywood Henderson.
Yeah.
For the Dallas Cowboys. Was the same thing. You know, he created this Hollywood, you know, persona, and eventually got him, kicked out off the team.
Yeah. So those are cautionary tales, and you know, I go back to again within the context of a relationship, and if you're in a situation to Ashley's point, I think that borders on your last point. That borders on abuse if you're with someone who is constantly pounding and talking negatively and down about what you believe in. That is just not a healthy situation.
Yeah, and at some point you just got to say, look, you know, stop talking negatively. This is who I am, and I'm sorry if you don't like it, but this is what I'm going to do. Or, like you said, Eric, you got to remove yourself from the situation and start hanging around other people.
People that are going to bring positive energy and support you in your journey.
Now, are you done choking over there, Ashley?
Oh, my gosh. I choked on water. I choked on water. So, I mean, it's like choking on air. Have you ever choked on air before?
Yes, I
mean,
I have,
like,
actually.
It's like, my God. I mean,
yeah. So for those of you listening, that's why Eric and I were sitting here just kind of babbling back and forth, because Ashley was, you know, we were about to go have to perform CPR.
In the corner of the studio, you know, like, what is it, like, you know, in a ball, kind of like moving back and forth,
right.
You know, stressed out. No, I choked on some water, but I think I choked because I was realizing a lot of times we feel like we have to explain ourselves when we are being authentic.
Yeah.
And so what happens then is you explain yourself, you know, and you lose yourself in that explanation. It's like anybody that's had a come to Jesus conversation, and I just use that as a blank conversation, you had something really, really important, really, really life-changing happen to you, and you go to tell somebody that you really are good friends with, and you tell them, and they look at you, and they go, that didn't happen. What are you smoking? I have no idea what you're getting at. And then instead of the incredible feeling and being able to share this awesome situation, you're over there defending yourself from being a crazy person. So now it's no longer, let me share with you this amazing thing that happened to you. It's more like, no, I really didn't make it up. No, I'm actually being honest. And there you are. You're even upset. You wish you could take back all the words, you know, rewind it and just not say anything and say, hey, have a great day. And you wouldn't have had to deal with this. And I think a lot of people, probably like the two guys y'all are talking about, you know, I'm wondering if at a young age, maybe they got scared. You know, I think a lot of people get scared, or maybe they don't think they're good enough to show their true self.
You know, again, pop culture is at the point now where it is just so difficult to be different from what culture says, you know, is the ideal of what you know should be, you know. Mm-hmm. There's for men, for women, you know, for all ethnic groups.
Yeah.
And you know, and y'all making all these funky hand signs, you're not going to distract me because I'm being my authentic self right now.
Bill's on the authentic soapbox right now.
That's
man,
right,
that's all you can be, man.
No, you know, I love
I'd
it.
Like to see you try to be Ashley.
Oh, I don't think Ashley has hard enough time being Ashley.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. I'm me.
That's my point.
I'm me.
That's my point.
No, that would be too much work. You know what I mean? It's too much work to be someone else.
Yeah.
It's too much work to put on.
Yeah.
And let's go to the next line of reasoning that I think is very interesting, is that a lot of times we want to appoint a due diligence or a duly appointed representative.
Say it faster.
We want to appoint a representative, right? We want to put a representative out there that's the representative of me or the representative, you know, like, and I think a lot of times when we do that, what is that? That's a persona. That's a persona. Right. We categorize like the Hollywood guy. I mean, if I call myself Ashley Beverly Hills Burgess, you know, and there I was with my little, you know, chihuahua in my hand, and I acted like Paris Hilton, y'all would be like, oh my gosh, you know what I mean? But that's the persona people create. And a lot of times they create that because they think that's what's going to be accepted. They think that they'll be more accepted into society instead of coming in and being like, hey, I'm Ashley. I'm just Ashley. You know what I mean? And sometimes they're scared that that's not going to be good enough. You know, maybe they're going to think that it's like the light cream cheese or the light ranch. Like it doesn't have enough gusto and they just walk all over you. Or they go, oh, you're an outsider. You know, you don't fit in here. Go away. You know, you're not good enough for us. Go.
Here's the problem with that, Ashley. You know, a lot of times they're right. Because if your ideal is to get into a certain profession or to make a certain level of material wealth, then you have to put on a certain persona.
I don't think so.
Well, pop culture says you have to. And if you don't do it, then you won't attain that level of material wealth. Now, you and I know that in order to be your true self, then material wealth shouldn't, you know, be...
But you can still be wealthy and be yourself. I mean, some of the most...
I would say it's very difficult in today's culture to do that. Very difficult.
I don't think it is.
I think so.
I don't think it is. I mean, I like our argument here because I don't think it is. I think that so many people just aren't themselves and they don't realize how easy it is to be yourself.
Name me one person in pop culture today.
I'm not going to say pop culture. I mean, maybe you're looking in the wrong place. I mean, to me, pop culture is not really reality.
Well, but
Lenny Kravitz, I would say, has something together. I mean, I'm sure there's other people
together. When's the last time you heard anything from Lenny Kravitz,
though? Because he keeps his distance and he's quiet.
You know, pop culture, I'm sorry, Ashley, but in today's society, pop culture is reality. Just look around you.
It's their reality.
Well, it's a lot of people's reality, and reality is perception. Reality is what you make it, and a lot of
people... But it's not reality, it's perception.
Well, I mean, you and I know that, but a lot of our listeners and then the general population, they don't know that, or either they don't know it or they choose not to know it.
Okay? I think most of our listeners get it. I think that's why they listen to the show.
That's because these are smart listeners.
Yeah, I understand. I think there's a very intelligent listeners that we have, and I don't think they really buy into that. I think there are people all over, in corporate America, anywhere. I think if you're honest with your values, and I get what you're saying, sometimes people make more money when they walk all over people, when they treat them like crap. That's one side of it. But the pop culture thing, I think that's all a bunch of people behind those people making money off of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, pop culture, that's all a strategic. What we see on TV, what we see in the media market, place, what we see in advertising, there's a group of people who get paid very well to create an environment with a specific purpose in mind. And at the end of that purpose, oftentimes is some level of consumerism or some kind of product. So it's a game. And once you realize that, I think it becomes entertainment and hopefully it doesn't drive you as much. But it's a science. There's a science to it.
I agree with that, and I think a lot of times, you know, like you're right, Bill, people do buy into it, but I think, you know, there's a definite science behind it. I mean, if it was cool to have two heads on your neck, they're going to have people with two heads. They're going to genetically modify these people. They're going to be running around. Everybody's like, oh, my God, they have two heads.
If it was cool and profitable.
Two heads. You know, that's next.
Amen.
That's next. We already got the three boob lady. Now we need the two heads. And let's see. And maybe like four arms or something. And that's going to be cool because they'll be able to drape more diamonds all up and down their wrists and hands. So it's going to be really great for the diamond industry. But when we return, we're going to be talking more about how to be yourself, how to be authentic within the society, and things to do and two things not to do to stay authentic. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can
show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
We're going to draw some perspective. We're going to draw a road and some phone poles and a building going into the distance with some mountains and shadows and all that kind of stuff. We're going to do it really fast. You can't do perspective without a horizon that you're looking into the distance at.
Welcome live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing what it means to live authentically, how you can live an authentic lifestyle, but better yet, how you can live an authentic lifestyle in the world that we have created. You know, right before the break, we discussed about... you know, appointing a representative, but how some of us have this representative that we're no longer ourselves anymore. We've created this representative that we've thrown out in society based on the fact that we think people will like this representative. This will be the greatest representative ever. These people will really like me now, you know, instead of, oh, okay, I'm going to put Ashley out there, you know, straight up Ashley, all just Ashley, and let's see what happens. And I think people do that. There's two things that come out of this. One, they either play into the group like you were saying, Bill, or two, guess what happens? You end up not being yourself. And consequently, people don't want you. And right. So you try to be somebody else. It's a lot easier to try to be yourself and them not want you than try to be somebody different. They don't want you. So then what do?
How much does this representative job pay? Sounds like a full-time job.
Actually, if you look at a lot of pop culture stars, yeah. Like, you know, Kim K, you yeah. know, apparently pays a lot.
Yeah, sounds like a full-time job. You I know, need a representative.
Where do I sign? You know, how can I get it?
You need a duly appointed representative.
Yeah.
Eric Moore here. Yeah. Eric Moore too. Remember that Multiplicity movie where he creates all the, you know, like they create a clone of each other. What's that guy's name? He was like Batman in one movie. I'm trying to think of what his name was.
Yeah.
But he creates a clone, and then the clone is like this real jerk guy that has like too much testosterone, and he's like, and you know, he's always, you know, like, you know, he's got the pecs, and he's always like mad, and then that guy creates another clone, right? And that one's kind of a little frou-frou, you know. And then they create a clone off another clone, and that one's not all right. You know what I'm saying? And so it's funny. I mean, but it kind of reminds you of that, where you can play one side or the other. Who are you today?
So after all the clones, the highest value is in the original, which is the authentic first person in the first place after you've gone through all the clones, right?
Exactly. Because they're all those pieces, you know, because there's a part of him that's kind of the manly man. There's a part of him that's kind of the frou-frou. And then there's a part of him that's a little off.
Which actually, and of course, it goes without saying, I have absolutely no idea what you're referring to.
That's always right.
I don't know. I don't know the movie. And you're right. I don't know. I remember the movie, but your point is very well taken. In the movie, the way you described it, Ashley, there's these various aspects of this self that look awkward in and of themselves by themselves. But when all of those aspects are housed in one body, an authentic body, then it makes sense.
Exactly.
So why go through the exercise of parsing out all these different versions of yourself when you are better served just being that whole original self in the beginning?
Like, I'll show this person this thing, or I'll show this person that thing, or I'll show this person this side of me, or what have you. You're right, because some people want to show, like, this compassionate side. Other people want to show the hardcore side, right? Other people want to show this playful side, when in actuality, you could be all that wrapped up in one, being yourself. And I think a lot of times we forget that being ourselves is so cool. And I think sometimes some people listening might not even know who they are. That's why we're trying to explain this, is because in order to really understand yourself, you have to realize a lot of things about yourself. You have to realize the qualities about yourself. And a lot of times the things that we see as maybe a negative, you know, or chink in the armor might be something that really makes you a very cool, unique person.
Yeah, no, I agree. It takes me back to an experience that I had in college as a ball player, and as you guys know, playing football is a hyper testosterone driven sport. Fun sport. There's tremendous artistic value and tremendous lessons to be learned. But I love classical music, and I played defense, which was an aggressive position. And in the beginning in college, I was a little bit embarrassed because after games, I would listen to Beethoven. I would listen to Mozart. I would listen to Johann Sebastian Bach. And that was kind of cool. And so I would play it real quietly in my room. And one day another teammate came in and said, "Man, what are you listening to?" And I said, "Oops, I'm sorry. Let me turn it down." He said, "Is that classical music?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, I like the same thing." And we wound up being really good buddies after a while. And that taught me something. Don't suppress who you really are, what you really like, for anybody.
But you know, didn't you experience those moments, especially as a young person and, you know, still, you know, maturing and all that good stuff, you know, finding out who you were? Didn't you still experience that peer pressure?
I did.
You know, being a young African-American male.
Yep.
You know, at the risk of over stereotyping this, I mean, young African American males are by and large into hip hop, and so you know, listening to classical music in that kind of situation.
More like gangster rap.
Well, I mean, you know, call it what you will. But, yeah, maybe, but you know what I'm getting at.
I get it. I get it.
No, I wasn't listening to classical. I was listening to gangster rap. I mean, you must have heard. That was some new ballad that was being done.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, there's some truth to it, but, you know, there's a lot of diversity in music. But I use the classical music example because that is you just don't equate football and classical music. But again, in a pursuit of really kind of being true to myself, I found out that there was others out there who shared the same types of passions. And I never would have experienced that if I had not had the courage to say, yeah, you know what? I do like classical music. So
I like classical too, but I like everything. I like all kinds of music. So I said before the break that I was going to give two options, two things that you don't want to do in order to try to find your authentic self, the two things you don't want to find yourself in. And I think we should go into that because I think in the next hour, we're going to really talk about the healthy aspect of it. You can't stifle yourself because you're scared of what others will say. So you can't stifle yourself because you're scared of what others would say. And I think that is a good example of you in there listening to classical music, Eric. And, you know, the person walks in, the teammate walks in and is like, oh, you know, most people would have turned it really quick to a different station and been like, hey, what's going on? Or turn it off or not discuss it. But let's take that to a different level, not just music. I think some people stifle their true feelings because they don't want to put themselves out there. They're scared because if you sit there and tell your true feelings, then people might know you better.
And because if you put yourself out there, then there are going to be others who will do their best to shoot you down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's for some people, and I can relate to this because I'm kind of the same way. It's just better not to put yourself out there. There's safety there. You know, if I put a wall around myself, you know, the castle wall and the moat. And on previous shows, you and I have discussed this aspect about myself, which, as a very quick aside for those of you listening to us, if you want to listen to past episodes of Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, please go to ashleyburgess.com or iTunes or Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker with an R. And you can listen to, how many episodes have we got up there now?
About 150.
Yeah, about 150 now. So all our listeners, please check that out. So,
and don't stifle yourself, okay?
Right, don't stifle. Yeah.
Go up in there and listen to all the episodes you want to. And the cool thing is on Spreaker, it's all on demand, so you're not downloading anything, which is cool. So, you just put Ashley in there, you know, and you're going to find Perspective. You'll find it.
Yeah, it's a great app there. So.
Easy breezy.
Don't stifle yourself, even if everybody else around you is listening to hip-hop. You listen to Perspectives. Or if everybody around you is listening to acid rock, you listen to Perspectives.
There you go. Yeah, just to be your own person.
Go back and forth between acid rock and Perspectives. You know, put them both on, one on the other. You know, and I think that's so important to say what you need to say. I mean, within reason, but say what you want to say. Be who you need to be. But the next thing is to not hide your true qualities just to fit in.
Yeah.
Basically, don't dumb yourself down.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think a lot of times, I've done it before. You know, I even had a friend of mine one time who was like, I like it, you know. I like it. You know, you seem to be dumbed down, you know. And it was just, you know, it is what it is. And
we've all done that.
We've all done that to fit in because we want to be in that situation. I was a cool kid.
And it felt awkward, though. Didn't it feel awkward?
It sucked.
Exactly. Go ahead, Bill.
I was going to say, I read an article recently. You know who Marina Sirtis is?
No.
She played Deanna Troi on Star Trek Next Generation. You never watched that show?
No.
Okay. Just take my word for it. She played.
This is something I don't follow. So this is good.
So anyway, you know, Star Trek Next Generation. I used to watch that show a lot, and she played, you know, kind of a what you would call a sexy character, and which, you know,
you've got my attention.
You had a poster up of her in your room when you were younger.
I used to, yes. And she would say that you know, when she played that character, then you know, it was all about her cleavage. And, you know, her gray matter, you know, the character was dumbed down for that. Once the character evolved after like 5 or 6 years to where you know, the character became more than that, then all of a sudden the sexiness factor was reduced.
Secondary.
And her the character's intelligence level was increased. So, you know, so I think especially for women, don't you agree, Ashley? I mean, you know, the sexier you are, the less cool it is to be dumb. Or, I'm sorry, other way around. Less cool it is to be smart. In today's pop culture.
Yeah, I guess in the non non-revolutionized people, I totally agree with you. I mean, I'm sure to some degree. I mean, I think it's a triple threat. I mean, when somebody is a bombshell and they're majorly intelligent, I mean, that's like a double threat. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, those are the kind of people that you want working with.
Well, when we come back from the break, I've got an example for you.
Okay, cool. When we return, we'll be talking more about that, and we'll also begin to get into the concept of how to be authentically healthy, because in order to live an authentic life, gosh, you got to understand your body as well. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, we'll be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax. Breathe. Smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing how to live an authentic life and how to live that authentic life in the world that we have created. You know, I know that a lot of people out there don't know how to do that because it's hard, because we've created all this stuff around us, all these personas, all this social media, all this what we're supposed to be, the representative, you know? I mean, we've created all these things as well as that persona. How do you shed that? And, you know, we talked earlier about how to be you, how to figure out what you value. You know, not stifling yourself, not holding back from your reality, as well as not hiding your true self. I mean, a lot of times people want to try to hide, or they think immediately about the things that they think are deficits, but it's not really about that. Sometimes we try to hide our qualities because we want to fit in. Sometimes you can seem to be too big, too tall, if you actually are good at what you do. And I think some of us try to shy away from that because, like you said, Bill, earlier, you didn't want to have, you know, you didn't want to be in the spotlight.
Nope. And, you know, there's a lot of people who feel the same way. When we were ending the last segment, I was going to go into the example of Marilyn Monroe. Okay. Now,
A woman after my heart.
Yeah. And mine, too. And you know, the symbol of the 50s,
too.
Right? And that's not her real name, by the way.
I want to be loved by you,
and
nobody else but you.
But here's the thing. That hair, you know, was, of course, you know, bleached platinum blonde. And it wasn't her real name. Norma Jean something.
Norma Jean Ray or something.
Something like that. And she actually had genius level IQ, like a 150 or higher.
Yeah.
Okay. She could have been a scientist or something like that.
A mathematician.
Yeah. You know,
which makes her even more attractive.
But see,
in my book,
here's the thing. She deliberately dumbed her character down. And why? Because, and she even said so in an interview one time, it's because, you know, for a woman trying to do what she was doing, less expectations. You know, and so here's the thing. She dumbed herself down to be kind of this, you know, bubble-headed bleach blonde.
But she was part of the pop culture then. Let's go back to that. I mean, she was part of the pop culture. She would be like the Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, she was the Kim Kardashian.
Okay, so we're basically, you know, comparing apples and apples on this.
Well,
it's the same type of thing.
Well,
you might think she's more beautiful, but let's not even try to compare, because the concept of beauty has changed, right?
Well, I was going to say she at least literally had an occupation. I don't know.
Well, what was that?
But here's the thing. If Marilyn Monroe were alive today, would she? Would she be an actress, or would she have made a sex tape to get famous?
It's all an individual choice. I think, to Ashley's point earlier, we've all done it to varying degrees. But people in pop culture and those icons, they do it visibly. And so we can see it. We can see the evolution or devolution or whatever you want to call it.
Devolution.
But we've all done it. I mean, I did it. I did it. It wasn't cool to be smart. Where I came from, and I'm not going to stereotype a whole experience, but, you know, the guys that were cool were the guys who had the fast one-liners or the guys who had the slick talk, but the guys who wanted to talk intelligently about things weren't necessarily seen as the guys that the girls wanted to be around. And so, you know, I played that game for a minute, but it didn't feel right. And I keep going back to that feeling. But, you know, we're talking about living an authentic life and an authentic self. It's got to feel right. And if it doesn't feel right, then you got to check where you are and where you're headed.
Well, and in my case, I was just the exact opposite. See, when I was in school, I was not an athlete. I had glasses, and at least until I got my braces, I had buck teeth. So I was expected to be the smart guy. And, you know, so I was, you know, you probably knew this guy when you were growing up, Eric. I was the guy who was learning in class and six people around me were copying off me.
Yeah.
I was that one guy, right?
So I
definitely wasn't in the cool crowd, but, I didn't feel comfortable being my true self. And it took me a lot of years to finally start to grow out of that.
Well, I think that the concept of the truth shall set you free. I mean, I really do feel that when I feel like I'm, not that I'm lying, but I feel when I'm holding back from the truth, it's almost painful because you really can't be yourself. And I feel like, I feel like you can show, and I feel it's so important. I think we need to kind of head into the concept of health right now, though, because I think that in order to be authentic, you have to be authentically understanding yourself and your body. And if you don't understand what's going on in there, right, I mean, how do you really understand what's coming out? And I think that the first thing is to understand your inner workings, right? To understand the language of your body and to understand when something needs your attention, to understand when you're not feeling good, to understand why you feel certain emotions at certain times is so important.
To understand that you need to pause while talking so you can swallow, so you don't choke, huh, Ashley?
You hear this kind of crap I deal with on a daily basis?
Can we talk about the Chuck Norris t-shirt right now? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, Ashley, you bring up a yet another wonderful point. I remember my 20s, and you guys have heard me talk a little bit about when I was younger in the pursuit of corporate glory and all of that. And there was a period in my late 20s to where I was really sick. My stomach was killing me. Every time I woke up, I thought it was lactose intolerant. So I cut out the milk. It wasn't that. I would call my mother, you know, Mom, I'm in pain. I don't know what it is. And I fought the pain for about a month, maybe 2 months. And finally, I went to the doctor and I had an upper GI, painful. I had a lower GI, painful. And I went through all these batteries of tests, and the doctor could not find anything wrong. I was hoping he found something, some cause for this discomfort. And ultimately what I realized after self-discovery and kind of looking internally, that it was my physical self was suffering because my mental and spiritual self was out of balance. I was trying to be something and chasing something that either wasn't time for me to get it yet, but it was unnatural to my core self. And so physically, my body responded and caught my attention and said, you know what? You need to get back in alignment.
Well, you know, Eric, I mean, the mind is just so powerful. We just don't understand how powerful the mind is, which, Ashley, you have actually done previous shows on that topic. And if I were listening to the show and wanted to hear those previous shows,
you go to iTunes for Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. You go to Spreaker with Ashley. Just put in Ashley. You'll find Ashley Burgess. You'll find Perspectives. You can go to AshleyBurgess.com, whatever you like. Or just put Ashley Burgess in Google, and it'll figure it out from there. So, yeah, you can listen to all these past shows because, I think that's so hypercritical what you're talking about, this concept of your inner workings, how you feel. And you know, I know some people that have gone through surgery after surgery after surgery. And it didn't get any better.
Yeah.
It got worse. And then they realize, oh, it's not my back. It's my marriage. I'm so unhappy. I'm causing myself to be sick.
Quick tangent, Ashley. Have you ever known anybody to be addicted to surgeries?
Cosmetic surgeries, yes.
Cosmetic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, cosmetic surgeries, yes. Yes, there's a lot of people out there that are addicted and continue to redo things for this concept of perfection, which that's an interesting thing, too, because you'll always be chasing that deal.
Yeah, and that's yet another example of a spiritual mental ailment manifesting itself in a physical sense. And you're right, Ashley, that I went through, again, all those tests, and I was hoping it was something that I could point to. And when it wasn't, I realized it was psychological, it was mental, and it was all of those things. And I'm sure I'm not the only person that's gone through that, every test in the world, and they couldn't find anything. And so I think it just echoes the point that as you believe, as your mind goes, as your spirit goes, your physical body goes. And I think and those who are living an inauthentic life or a life out of alignment, you're going to have probably more physical ailments as well as psychological ailments as those who don't. There should be a certain ease to life.
I agree with you. And a lot of times, you're going to be feeling all kinds of aches and pains. I mean, you know, I know when you're not living an authentic life and you're not being yourself and you're lying to yourself, your body's going to internalize that.
Yeah, it's going to do
and
it.
I have a perfect example for you.
Yeah.
And God help me because I love her and would die for her. My mother. My mother's is a perfect example. Which, what's the technical or medical term when it's all in your head?
Psychosomatic.
Yes, thank you.
Psychosomatic.
My mother can literally worry herself sick, and I say that literally. Okay. You know, she has chronic migraine headaches and she has a lot of legitimate, it's very important for me to say that she has a lot of legitimate medical ailments,
but a lot of some of those ailments, not all of them, but a lot of them actually formed by not taking care of your body.
Right.
Or by, you know, being the opposite of who you are. I think there's a lot of people out there that are being somebody they're not, and that causes some of that.
My mother has, and she's in her 60s now, she has never figured out who she is. She is always taking on the personality of the man she's with.
We were talking about a show a while back, and we were talking about original peoples, you know, the native peoples of the continent, the Aboriginal people. And I never forget, you know, back in the day, we as a Western society would always demonize Eastern medicine, whether it was African medicine, Asian medicine, or Native American.
Witchcraft.
Yeah, witchcraft. We would call it witchcraft and voodoo and all of that. But what we're learning is that those societies probably were on a better track than we were, because they were not only addressing the physical ailment, they were addressing the spiritual and emotional deficiencies as well, because they understood that one soul or one self is a composite of all these different levels, mind, body, and spirit.
That's awesome. Hey, when we return, we're going to continue talking about how your health and your body is a good indicator of how authentic or how unauthentic you're living. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing authentic lifestyles, how to have one, how to keep one in the world that we have created. And in the last segment, now we're talking about really how your health, more like how your body, can be a good indication of if you're living an authentic or non-authentic life. You know, right before the break, we were talking about how to understand your body, how to get it when you're feeling certain ways. Bill was talking about how his mom has all these ailments, and some of them are based on the fact that she's not being herself. And some of this stuff could be because you're not taking care of yourself. But also, that's another strike on the whole authentic thing, too, because, you know, if you really get it and you authentically respect yourself, you will start taking care of yourself. But also, you will not try to override your true emotions. And I think a lot of times when we keep our emotions in, or we lie to the outside world and we try to lie to ourselves, all that energy and that negative energy or whatever it is stays inside. And I truly believe that besides the eating and besides eating, you know, foods with hormones and that kind of things, this can cause serious issues like cancer and other kinds of diseases that come from being stressed.
Yeah.
Because when you aren't living an authentic life and you're trying to be, or you're pretending to be, or you're allowing this representative to be you, you're taking a back seat. It's almost like you're watching your life play out and you're stifling yourself on every occasion and not being truthful to yourself and nobody else. And you know what that does? It makes yourself so angry that you actually create this anger inside of you, and then it actually creates disease within you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not at ease with yourself. So get it. You create disease in your internal body. Not everybody, okay? Certain things happen to peaceful people. But think about it. When you're not at ease, you can have disease. And when we're not being ourselves, we're not at ease. We're being a representative. We're putting out, you know, this persona that's supposed to gather friends and get us, you know, favorable options and all kinds of things like that.
That rhymes. Say it again.
What?
If you're not at ease, then
you're
you have
in disease. Disease. Disease.
Which brings me to a couple of points. First point.
You're not at ease.
First point. I fired my representative because I just couldn't afford him. That's one thing.
He must have been on the pay scale as mine.
Yeah, yeah.
They're union.
Yeah, I couldn't afford him.
They're union.
I couldn't afford him in the health care and all of that, so I fired the representative.
They're unionized.
Yeah, I'm a lot more efficient now. Yeah, you're probably right. And then the other thing is, and you're right, when you break down the word disease, it's basically
dis-ease.
Dis-ease.
Yeah.
And that means something. It means that that whatever you're doing, life is not supposed to be easy, but there's supposed to be a certain ease to life. There's supposed to be a certain flow to life. There's supposed to be a certain symmetry to life. And when you do things that are counter to that, then you get dis-ease. The ease goes away and it becomes hard. It becomes complicated. It becomes difficult. It becomes laboring. And that's not how life, I think, to a high life is really supposed to be. That's me.
Well, Erica, you were talking about the traditional Asian and African mm-hmm. medicine earlier, you know, traditional European medicine. At one time, it was considered, what's the word I'm looking for? It was considered the right procedure to use leeches to cure the body.
Yeah.
Why? It's kind of what you're talking about. You know, the people recognize, okay, you know, the blood flowing through your body,
mm-hmm.
something was messing up the flow. So they thought, okay, well, we'll get leeches and they'll suck the bad thing out of the blood and the person will be better. Now, of course, we know better now. Probably made it worse.
Yeah,
but that was kind of the theory idea behind it.
Well, kill me now, because if you put a leech on me, I'm just...
me too. Yeah, just, I'm done.
I cut my finger. You're going to put a leech on me? Kill me.
I'm going to go get some, and we're going to do this on break. I don't know where I'm going to go find them at. What kind of store do you get leeches at?
At the leech supermarket? Yeah.
You know,
the leech superstore.
The pet store.
Open all night long, 24/7. Get your leeches here. Yeah, I agree with this kind of concept, because I think that a lot of times we look toward different things to cure us when in actuality we can cure ourselves. I think there's certain things that we hold in and not to be at ease, to be diseased. So think about the concept of being, of dealing with feeling good and bad. I mean, where are these feelings coming from? You know, sometimes people can wake up feeling depressed, feeling angry. Where is this anger coming from? Let's be honest. Where is it coming from? Can you spot it? Do you know where it's coming from? Because if you don't know where it's coming from, you can't begin to take care of it. And to be able to live authentically and to understand yourself, you can't just sweep these emotions under the rug. And you don't want to be out there going crazy in the street, punching things and yelling and screaming. But at the same time, if you're not holding in that anger so much, you're not going to be like that.
Some of you out there have dated that guy that's walking down the street punching things. It's like, that's not a good look.
It's a really bad look.
Or in this day and age, some of you guys out there have dated women who walk down the street and punch things. It's not a good look, man.
I remember one of my exes one time, he was telling me when we were dating, he was like, yeah, he goes, I haven't told you this, but I'm on a probation for it. He goes, I remember I was driving down the street and I saw my girlfriend in the car in front of me with another guy. And they got to the red light, and he was two cars back, and she was in a convertible, and he just stopped his car in the middle of the street and ran in, jumped at the back of the trunk, jumped into the car, and just started beating this guy up, you know? And he's like, yeah, I ended up, you know, doing some, you know, not some jail time, but I did some probationary time over there. I was like, got some anger, huh?
Just a little anger?
Yeah, I think. Maybe some anger issues there. Really? You know, some unresolved.
You made sure
not
to tell me this till like the year anniversary of us dating, too. That was pretty funny. I thought that was interesting.
Put some leeches on him. We'll see.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just leeches? I'm the only one that got it? Yeah. Oh, man.
Well.
So, yeah, but think about the inner workings of your body. You know, how honest are you being with yourself? I mean, how honest are you being? And I think your body can tell you how honest you're being. I mean, if you're not getting any sleep at night, I mean, that's something
that's a telltale sign. Or grinding your teeth.
Grinding your
teeth. That's another one too.
Stressed out.
Yeah, stressed out. Well, yeah.
Or sucking your thumb.
Going back.
I mean, so some people. No, really? I mean, no, but when they're adults, you know, they'll suck their thumb.
Psychoerotic.
It's insecurity type thing.
Oh, okay.
You know, sorry. I mean, you know, you want to be, you know, you feel insecure, so you kind of, you know, did what you did as a child in order to.
I've heard of that. I mean, I've read that in books and studies and stuff. But yeah, I mean, there's a tendency to try to go back into the womb because you're just scared. You're straight up scared. But I think when you're able to deal with your health and I think the biggest thing is to eat well, to eat a balanced meal.
Yeah.
Also to know what kind of food you're supposed to eat for yourself. I mean, you can sit there and read those books all the time about, you know, the food for your blood type and all that. And some of that stuff has some sort of reality, just like horoscopes have some sort of reality, you know, maybe like a 10% or 2%. But really, you need to figure it out for yourself. And it's so important in order to live an authentic life is to sit there and say, what do I need to fuel myself? What do I need to be at the top of my game every single day? What do I need to do for myself? And that's part of being authentic, is taking taking care of yourself, authentically doing something, not just, you know, shoveling food down and getting the 2 hours of sleep and then having the mind going crazy all day about, you know, how you're scared about showing your true self or you don't really understand your feelings and you're constantly just bombarded by your own emotions you don't understand.
Yeah, you make a great point on food, Ashley. I was, as you guys know, I was overseas, you know, several weeks ago and I ate really well. I ate, you know, stuff that came right off the tree in Asia. I ate, you know, sorry all you meat eaters out there, but I ate, you know, fresh lamb with no antibiotics and all the stuff that we stuff in it and you know, great pastas and vegetables and rices and hummus and all those kinds of things. And I was only gone for maybe a couple of weeks. And my wife, when I get back home, my wife says, "Wow, you just look different. I hadn't picked up any weight. I didn't lose any weight. I didn't do my hair differently." That's a joke for all of you guys who've seen me.
Eric's bald.
But I felt good. And I remember a week later, after being in the States, I went back to a couple of old habits. I'm a pretty healthy eater, but I said, "You know what? I want a burger. I want a burger really bad." And my body immediately said, "You moron. You moron." And I could sense it. The ease that I had accumulated from being overseas and eating a more healthy and natural diet immediately went to dis-ease when I ate that big old cheeseburger from Brahms. Sorry.
Distress.
Sorry. Distress. So, yeah.
I'll be right back.
So, no, you're right. You know, your diet, you know, your state of mind and all of that stuff, you know, really works together.
Well,
it really does.
And, you know, it's been scientifically proven that, you know, if you eat – you know, real fatty, you know, fried foods, you know, like, like from my cultural background, then, you know, you're going to have obesity issues, you're going to have heart issues, you're going to have all sorts of other issues. And it's eventually, I mean, it's going to kill you if you're not careful.
That's true. It will. And so when we return, we're going to talk about more healthy habits that you can start to employ in your life. And also we'll be talking about things you can do to basically cut out the noise from the outside world and continue to live or to begin to live your authentic life. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing what it means to live an authentic life. And, you know, we've also been talking about how you can begin to live your life authentically in the world that we've created. And right before the break, we were discussing healthy habits. You know, what you can do to stay healthy, to become healthy. And one of the true aspects of being authentic is taking care of yourself. I mean, quite honestly, it is. I mean, if you're over there smoking and excessively drinking and eating really bad food for yourself and having a huge gut that you have no idea where it came from, this is probably not bettering your life. If you're over there hacking and wheezing as you take another cigarette out of the pack and light it up as you wheeze and hack, okay, that's probably not a good sign that you're living healthy, as well as you're not taking care of your life. You're not taking care of yourself at all. What kind of person does that to themselves? Somebody wants to kill themselves.
Were you ever a smoker, Ashley?
Yeah, I did smoke.
So you know from which you speak.
Yes, I do. I don't just sit there and throw it out and dish it. I've actually lived it. I mean, that's the key. I remember when I finally quit smoking when it stopped from being a nightly thing, you know, when you drink and you smoke. To it became a, well, I got to get up early in the morning and I'm going to have a cigarette on my way to the newsroom as I get on TV because I can't think clearly unless I have a couple of cigarettes
in
the morning.
Then it owns you. The cigarettes own you.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I quit, I quit in California. I quit in L.A. when I was there. I was there for about a month. And the last morning I woke up and I was like, I'm not ever going to have a cigarette again. And I haven't, you know, and I'll knock on this wood somewhere, but there is none. And, okay, so
it's all glass.
Bill's head.
I use my noggin here.
I've got a battle plate in my
head. Is that why when I turn on that microwave we have some problems?
Yes.
Okay, it makes
fries
sense
my
now.
Brain,
it
literally.
Makes sense. You just did that dance all the time. I didn't understand. No, you know, so he's over there doing dubstep dances. So, yeah. So I remember I quit that morning. I didn't smoke again, and I had to fly back to Dallas, and that next morning I had to be up for a TV deal, and it was like, and I'm not – I love mornings, people, don't get me wrong, but 5:30 in the morning, 5 a.m. in the morning, get up at 4 a.m. in the morning, I mean, unless I get some practice on that, it's not my favorite. It's not my favorite. And so I hadn't been able to have a cigarette, and I had to go cigarette-less, all the way there. And I remember when I got there, the makeup artist was like, Ashley, I'm so sorry. And I was like, what? She goes, I smoked. And I could smell it. I said, well, I'm the one that quit. She goes, well, I was going to quit too. And I said, I didn't say you had to quit, you know, but yeah, I've been there. And when it was, and when it got to the point where I thought I had to have a cigarette to be able to make a thorough thought, like I was like, oh God, I haven't had a cigarette. Am I going to be able to think? Oh gosh, are the ideas going to come to me? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it got so bad that I thought I needed that jack of nicotine to just, you know, jumpstart my brain in the morning.
That you just said the key word there, Ashley, and cigarettes, alcohol, coffee, all right? Any
stimulant,
any substance, when it goes from
crack,
want
cocaine.
It, yeah, it, you know, that too. When it goes from want it to you need it, that's the key there. You know, if you get to the point where I need this to function, I need this to wake up in the morning, I need this to get through the day, or you need to go out. Just you need to be around people. You need to do this.
Versus I choose to.
You know, it's like it goes from, oh, okay, you know, we're having to get together and we're going to go out to the club and have a good time, to I need to do this because otherwise, you know, I'll like shrivel up and die or whatever.
True.
So which goes back to that whole authenticity deal, in that authenticity are ideas and actions that spring from your internal self versus an external something. I.e. a drink or whatever. Is that a fair thing
yes.
to say? Ashley?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you don't need the help of an external thing.
You don't need the help of an external thing to just be like, an authentic you.
Just like when you're watching TV or you're looking at the internet or you're looking at YouTube, for a lot of people listening, I think maybe this is more so for women, but maybe not. But, you know, when you see something and you look at something that somebody else has done and then you start questioning yourself, oh, I don't know if my hair looks good, or I don't know if my body looks good, or I might need to do this or I might need to do that. And you have to sit there and really second guess that and realize, what is it within me that's putting my own self down, that's putting this person on a pedestal, and I'm trying to be like that for what reason? Why is this outside? Why is this supposed to help me out?
Here's another good example, Ashley, since we're talking about health. Food. You know, the comfort food. Type thing, you know. Oh, I had a bad day. I need, you know, to eat this. I need to go get ice cream.
Chicken fried steak with a bunch of stuff on.
I need this.
I've done it recently.
Yeah.
My wife's like, how much fried chicken are you going to eat? I'm just in a bad mood this week, honey. I'm going to eat fried chicken every day this week. She said, well, you need to stop and get out of your mood.
You pulling up to the Popeyes there? You're like, hey, Eric, how you doing? You're like, they're like the same thing today?
Yeah.
Same thing?
A two-piece white with a biscuit, baby.
And a week later, there was a lot more Eric Moore than there was.
I don't like that Eric Moore, you know? You know, let me go back to my veggies and my natural food. So, but we all do it. And that's the beautiful thing about this show, is that we're not talking about things that are foreign to us. Many of the things that we talk about, that we argue about, that we debate, that we present, are things that we've gone through personally. And that's the beauty of this show, and that our conversations, our dialogue, our platforms are authentic to our own selves. And that's the beautiful thing about Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Group hug.
Yay.
Group hug.
It's so
think
real.
About what about this? What makes you feel good? And I think this is a big deal. What is it that you eat that makes you feel good? And I think that's so important. I mean, and I'm talking about feel good longevity, not feel good for 5 minutes and then feel like crap. I mean, like not the old cotton candy high and bring you down. I'm talking about when you intake it into your body, do you go, yes.
You know what does it for me?
Being Ashley. Yeah.
You know what does it for me?
What?
Okra.
Like
whenever I
non-fried,
eat, non-fried okra, non-fried, non-fried. Whenever I eat okra,
I love okra.
Whenever I eat okra,
I love okra.
Really? Whenever I eat okra,
I never have gotten used to okra.
I love okra. Okra is one of my favorite things. I love okra.
It is a superfood, and you know, as I got older, I started researching it. I'm like, you know what? I'm doing my body some really, really good by eating this okra. You know?
Every time I eat that, though, my husband goes, man, you're going to eat that slimy okra.
Yeah. But
I go, I like the slime. And he's like, oh, geez. I'm like, no, it's good for you.
And you feel good about it.
You feel really
good about it.
You know what does it for me?
What?
Steak and potatoes.
Oh, Lord.
But, I mean, so here's the thing. I'm not talking about, you know, fatty hamburgers. You know, and
the lean.
No, you're still going with the red meat, though. I get it.
The lean, farm raised.
But here's the thing. For me, it's a balanced diet. Yeah, kosher. I mean, you know, it's a balanced diet.
You said beef is kosher?
Some
yeah,
meat,
you pray over it,
some right? vegetable, and in their proper quantities, okay? So because if I go all one or all the other, then it gets my system out of whack.
Proper quantities.
You know, and I've learned that if I just do it on a daily basis, if I do a kind of a balanced intake,
mm-hmm.
then and keep down like the fat and the cholesterol.
Right.
Then I feel better.
Yes, you might
be. Do you physically feel better, or do you psychologically feel better, or both?
I think it'd probably be a little bit of both, yeah, but yeah. But I've also noticed, like I said, that if I go way overboard on one or the other,
yeah.
then my natural cycle, without getting too disgusting about it. But I think we all know where
we're going. We already kind of went there.
Yeah,
we're
all human. You know, but my natural cycle gets out of whack. And it can last for days, and I'm just like, oh, I got
to
stop
that to myself.
So, yeah.
Well, sometimes, though, some people listening tonight maybe don't even have a natural cycle. I mean, sometimes you have to do some cleansing before you can get to that natural cycle. And sometimes there could have been years and years of just not eating well, not taking care of yourself, and you're having to, like, get rid of that dysfunction to actually allow the right thing to come in. And I think it's hard sometimes when people have been eating the same thing over and over again to sense what does make them feel good. What doesn't? And I think that's a big thing about allergies. There's a lot of people out there that have allergies to foods. They don't even get it. They don't even know it. They don't even really think about, every time I eat this, I feel ill. I get ill.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the last thing I figured out that I was allergic to is strawberries, right? And I remember every time somebody, giving you like strawberries, and it was always like a few, I'd eat like the strawberry on like the breakfast plate. And so it was something always small every time, but it was with all different types of foods, right? But it was always like the little garnish strawberry. And so it totally took me off because I'm like, I know I'm not allergic to eggs. I know I'm not, And so finally one day I just went, wait a second, it's strawberries. And I was like, I'm going to confirm it. And I confirmed it. And sure enough, I was sick for about 7-8 hours and I confirmed it. And I realized I'm never going to eat that strawberry garnish ever again. I'm never going to eat it because that's been the sneaky attack that's been happening this whole time. But had I not be so attuned to my body, I would have never understood that. And every time I eat that garnish, I was thinking I'd be allergic to everything. I just think I got food poisoning all the time.
And again, I've been there as well with milk. I used to love a big bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch when I was younger, my 20s, with a big old thing of milk, man. And for like 8 hours later, I'm feeling terrible. And then after a year of not wanting to give up my Cinnamon Toast Crunch and milk, I realized that I was lactose intolerant. And then I also realized that the majority of people of West African descent, ancestrally, have a low tolerance for dairy.
Yeah.
And so it made sense. I was doing something that was inauthentic to my physical self. Same thing with avocado. I love sushi, the California roll with the avocado in it. Can't do the avocado. Made me sick every time.
Well, a lot of things, too, before we go to break, real quick. If you are allergic to avocado, if you're allergic to certain tomatoes and bananas, you have a lactose intolerance. Not lactose, sorry. You have a latex allergy. Natural occurring latex occurs naturally in avocado, in tomatoes, and in bananas. And so if you're having a problem with that, you got to watch that because, there might be there's another cross function. So it's not just the latex manufactured gloves that you're allergic to. You're actually allergic to the fruit that actually produces natural latex. So stay tuned because when we return, we're going to show you and tell you, I guess more about telling you, how to cut out the noise from the outside world and keep your authentic life. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Six more
than
we left me. Me,
Ashley
Burgess.
No, you can't hit that note.
Since my baby left me. Well, I found a new place to dwell.
That's all right.
Well,
sounds raga. You don't want to go raga.
No, not on this, it don't.
It does.
Well, since my baby
sounds barbershop.
Well, don't
barbershop raga.
Watch the
It's a new
house. King.
Sorry. Oh, this is terribly depressing.
It really puts perspective on things, doesn't it?
Not too much. It's too much perspective now.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I am your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing what it means to be authentic, how you can live an authentic life, and how you can live this authentic life in the world that we've created. You know, right before the break, we were discussing how you can stay healthy, be healthy, what to do to stay healthy and authentically healthy in your body. And now let's talk about how you can cut out the outside noise. Cut that noise out to keep or to establish your authentic lifestyle. You know, the first thing I think that you have to do, it's mandatory, is that you have to watch. You have to watch yourself and watch what outside world intake, both subconscious and conscious, are you allowing into your brain? What are you allowing into your sensory? What are you allowing? What are you looking at, and are you comparing yourself? Are you comparing and contrasting? Are you trying to see how you can fit in that way? How are you ingesting this outside world media? How are you taking it? Especially when it comes to updates on Facebook, on social media, as well as your friends. I mean, you know, sometimes we sit there and compare ourselves to our friends. What good is that doing for you?
Well, you know, Ashley, you've heard the old saying, the eyes are the windows of the soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
While you're taking a swig of water there. Because you want to be healthy. You know, take a swig of water there.
See?
So Ashley is a good role model for us. But it's if you intake things that are going to affect you psychologically, then it's going to affect you. I'll give you a good example. There was a study done, I don't know how many years ago, but they got a group of people together, equal male and female, and they showed them, put them together as a jury, and they showed them a rape case, okay? And, okay, the guy's guilty, all right? Then for 6 weeks, they made them watch, like, all kinds of pornography. Just straight, okay? 6 weeks later, brought him back in as a jury, a very similar case, you know, names are changed, and they judged the guy not guilty. They were desensitized, okay? Now, this is kind of an extreme example, but if you are just on social media and you're, you know, gossiping and you know, you're intaking, you know, Kim K, you know.
You're on Instagram or whatever you're on,
whatever.
You're looking at pictures, even your friend's vacation pictures, whatever it is, and you start making decisions based on that about who you should be, that's going to change you.
Yeah, you're going to be desensitized.
You're going to also want to change yourself because you're not going to feel strong enough. You know what I'm saying? And I think sometimes these things create this non-strong, this almost like quicksandy feeling where you feel like you have to fit in.
Well, I mean, you know, and because, you know, we are social creatures, right? And, you know, definitely pop culture and the social media industry is taking advantage of that. Okay. And so they get to where, okay, the cool thing is to be on Instagram, mm-hmm. on Facebook,
yeah.
you know, multitask, you know, have four or five things going on your smartphone at the same time. Otherwise, you're not cool. And golly gee whiz, Ashley, who doesn't want to be cool? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Silence. Raise your hand there.
Depends on the price.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of
people will pay a very high price. So psychologically
and physically.
How
cool is cool, though? I mean, you know, for every cool person, there's somebody that's going to be cooler. For every rich person, there's somebody that's going to have more money. You know, I mean, it's like, what's cool?
Dog chasing his tail.
It's all our perception of what's cool. I mean, why can't you be cool? You know, I agree with you, though. I think that we have to look at that. And I think that goes into my next point, is you can't buy into the hype. Don't buy into the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Easier said than done in today's culture. I mean,
yeah, but most of it's all hype. You know, most of it, when you peel it away.
All of it is hype. One of the things that America is most proficient at, and that's marketing.
Aren't we, though?
And marketing is in and of itself
it's
a function of
hype. To the
hype.
Point, and, you know, Erica, you know, you can speak on this because, you know, your job has you traveling around the world you know, for your profession. American culture is everywhere. You know, and to the point where, you know, other cultures, you know, and other people are just like, ugh, enough of America already.
True.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to pick on any particular brand. And again, I personally look at myself first, and I have tremendous deficiencies that I work through every day. But, you know, when I do travel and I go to really good cultures and original cultures and cultures that have been sustained for thousands of years, and then I see one of our fast food joints there, you know, right next to a palm tree and a date company, or you know, whatever, something natural, it's just kind of disheartening, and people are lined up to eat stuff that we inherently know is not good for them.
True story. True story.
So true.
I went to Central Europe about 6 years ago, Krakow in Poland, to be specific. And beautiful old city, Krakow. Okay, I mean, just what you think a medieval European city would look like, you know, from the postcards. Okay, the walled city, that they have this beautiful old fashioned clock tower. You know, the guy gets up on the tower and, you know, with the trumpet. You know, I mean, great stuff. And right there in the stones, you know, the cobblestones of the old city, near the castle, is a McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I'm like, are you kidding me? And our tour guide goes, okay, well, it's lunchtime. Anybody want to go to McDonald's? No, I don't want to go to McDonald's. I didn't come all the way to Poland just to go to McDonald's. Could have stayed home to go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
I have a friend that goes everywhere in Europe, and you know what he looks for? The Tex-Mex restaurants. I'm like, man, he goes, I had fajitas every day in London. I'm like, dude.
Why?
And goes, well, I looked everywhere for iced tea.
Now, Britain, of course, they could use the help.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Now, London, now, if he was in Italy, you know, if he was in Greece, you know, I'd have a problem. Yeah, but London, I kind of get it.
Yeah.
London's calling.
Nothing against all the folks out there in London. What's up in Brixton? What's up, Brixton?
We love Electric y'all,
Avenue.
Man.
Yeah,
going to rock down to Electric Avenue. But yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, except with that one exception, I mean, if I wanted to go have American food and fast food.
I don't think McDonald's is American food. I think this is like the dumbed down of the food chain.
Oh,
I mean, this is just the worst of the worst.
But anyway, if I wanted McDonald's, I wouldn't go to like halfway around the world to do it.
I want to check my head. You know, I need to go.
I went to Poland. I want to have Polish food. Thank you very much.
I'd hope so. You're probably out there looking for Texas iced tea or something.
No.
In Poland? Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Although they probably have it.
But you can't change yourself because of the hype. And I think that's the funny thing is the hype gets the last laugh if you change yourself based on that, right? So if you're over there looking at all this stuff on TV and you go and change all these things about yourself because you're buying into this hype, who gets the last laugh? The marketing companies do, the PR companies, the doctors that do all the stuff to you, all this stuff. I mean, you're over there just molding yourself to whatever the whim is. What happens if you go get this big butt and then in 2 years the skinny looks in, now what do you do? Now you're screwed.
You know what? You become financially and emotionally bankrupt.
Exactly. That's, and your body's happens. Paying for it too, because you're doing all these needless
good example. How many female celebrities do you know now that are getting breast reductions? Remember when the breast enhancements were all the craze?
Yeah.
Which it kind of still is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I see what you're saying. But yeah, if they went crazy and they look like they had two basketballs up there. I mean, you know, there's only so much kind of work you can do. There's only so many clothes you can wear.
They're starting to fall over, you know. I mean.
So basically they've come full circle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Back to what? Their original authentic self.
It's like Jenny McCarthy. Recently had that done.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So last but not least, I think in order to basically cut out this white noise or whatever color noise you want to talk about it from the outside world and keep your authentic self, is you have to what? You have to realize what you stand for and believe and be. Okay, so you got to realize what you stand for, believe, and be yourself. If you realize what you're here for, if you realize what you stand for, if you realize what you value, if you realize your purpose, and you believe in those things, and you believe in the reality of these things, and you believe that this is reality, not letting the hype outdo your reality, okay? Because that's a key, too, because some of the most realistic things, the most true things, can almost seem fake in a world based on hype.
And you know who Henry David Thoreau is, Ashley?
Yes.
Well, yes, you would, but for those listeners who don't, I mean, he's one of our great early American writers. He wrote a book called Walden, and I highly recommend it. But he's the one who coined the phrase, march to the beat of a different drummer.
Well, march to your own drum.
Yeah,
march,
I mean, I think in order to realize your reality, don't be afraid to march to the beat of your own drummer. You know, regardless of what pop culture pressures you to do or be, you know, don't be afraid to be yourself.
I dig that. I dig that. I live by that, so I dig it.
I like that, too. And I think also you just have to be yourself. And I agree with that, Bill, because you can find your own tune. You can find your own beat, and it's all within us. But you have to want to find that. You have to be okay with allowing yourself to be authentic. You got to be okay to be. This is a great show, Eric.
Felt good, felt authentic, felt real.
It did feel real. Thanks very much, Ashley. As always, I learned a lot. And thank you to all the listeners who were on Facebook and Twitter with us.
Mad love to you.
Y'all rock. We rock. We'll be back next week with another show, so stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in 3 shakes.